A draft lease between Skagway and White Pass Railroad is made public, and a Haines committee moves ahead with a cruise ship incentive. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Skagway residents can now see the 68-page draft lease between the city and White Pass Yukon Route Railroad. The assembly voted last week to release the document that has taken years to negotiate. Some details of the agreement were released 18 months ago. The basic outline was also released at the meeting in an ordinance. That ordinance will have to go before voters in a special election before the lease becomes official. The election will likely take place sometime in August. The ordinance also has to pass the assembly. Its introduction was approved by a group Thursday in a 5-1 vote. Gary Hansen voted against it. The new lease would void the current one in effect until 2023. The new arrangement would reduce the amount of property at the port that White Pass controls. It would allow the city access to more of it for the Gateway Port expansion project. The lease would last 35 years. It would apply to the land directly below the ore dock. White Pass payments to the city would start at $250,000 a year and increase every 5 years to $400,000. The company currently pays $127,000 a year for its port lease. White Pass currently subleases some of the property to seven other companies. Under the new lease, those contracts would eventually revert to the city, with White Pass still receiving the revenue from the leases for the next 7 years. The company and city also agree to share the costs of building a new floating dock. That dock would accommodate a new, larger class of cruise ships. White Pass will continue receiving revenues from cruise ship operations on the south end of the ore dock and floating dock. The city would get any revenue from industrial or non-cruise use. Finally, in perhaps the most contentious part of the agreement, White Pass agrees to pay $2 million towards the remediation of the ore basin. Cleanup of the port from previous ore contamination is the main goal of the Gateway Project's first phase. But the cost for that cleanup is uncertain, and by some estimates, expected to cost several million dollars. Some critics of the new lease say $2 million isn't enough of a contribution by White Pass for that part of the project. The assembly plans to hold public meetings on the lease, but those have yet to be set. The next time the assembly will discuss the lease ordinance is at its July 6th meeting. The entire lease, with more than 150 pages of accompanying documents, can be found at skagway.org or through a link with this report on our KHNS website. Haines moved one step closer to approving a cruise ship docking waiver incentive Thursday. With only 3 out of 11 members present, a Joint Tourism Advisory Board Commerce Committee voted to recommend a 50% off docking fee waiver to the Borough Assembly.
We need to court them.
That's Assemblymember Diana Lapham. Haines government is looking to strengthen its courtship with cruise lines by giving them a discounted docking rate. Right now, cruise ships pay roughly $3,000 to dock in Haines. That's less than any other Southeast port community. Borough Tourism Director Leslie Ross says it's an effective part of marketing Haines. This summer, 2 mega ships, the Golden Princess and the Celebrity Infinity, docked in Haines, Ross says, because of an incentive that waived their docking fees. Tourism board member Sean Gaffney noted that those 2 ships recently had port calls in Haines.
We had good fortune in the last week and a half to have the 2 ships in port that were a part of that previous effort, which were the Golden Princess and the Infinity. And they both sold roughly 1,200 tours in our community. And so we a good benchmark to look at to judge how effective or not effective this type of effort or program is.
The 1,200 tours sold brought in about $83,000 in revenue, Assemblyman George Campbell said. That comes out to roughly $4,000 in sales tax. And that's just looking at tour operators, not other businesses. One member of the public asked for more information on how cruise ships impact other businesses' sales. Here's borough manager Dave Sosa.
It's information we want. We just haven't been able to get it, and I think there's a trust issue there.
Sosa says businesses seem hesitant to open their books for the government to have a peek. Ross and former Community and Economic Development Director Bill Mandeville presented fee waiver options to the Assembly in recent weeks. The Tourism Advisory Board decided on the one they like best. It waives 50% of the docking fee, about $1,500, for cruise ships during a 3-year time period. Gaffney says it's the cleanest and simplest proposal. Borough representatives said money from the Community and Economic Development Fund would make up that $1,500 in docking expenses to the Harbor Department. Resident Deborah Schnabel said if this incentive goes forward, it should be aimed at sustainability.
Make sure that it's a commitment. It's not just a program where somebody can come to the buffet table and take what they want and go away.
On the note of sustainability, artist and business owner Tresham Gregg said Haines needs to develop more tourist-targeted attractions in order to have sustainable cruise ship traffic.
And I think without a concerted effort by the community to become more of what the cruise ships are looking for, we may not be really accomplishing our goal.
Mayor Jan Hill said with all the efforts to make Haines a cruise ship destination, she hopes the town's authenticity remains intact.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that one of the things that Haines offers that some other ports don't offer is Haines, a real working, living Alaska town.
Gaffney was the only Tourism Advisory Board member present at the meeting. TAB Chair Karen Hess said Campbell told her they just needed a representative to answer questions from the public at the joint meeting. The three TAB and Commerce Committee members at the meeting voted to present a 50% waiver to the Assembly. The Assembly will likely vote on that resolution at their meeting on June 23rd. After that, it's up to the borough to work out the details of the incentive. One of the borough employees who was most involved in the initiative, Bill Mandeville, resigned from his job recently. If the Assembly approves the incentive, Ross will be able to use it as a selling point in her courting of cruise ships for the summer of 2017.
When an eagle dies in Alaska, its feathers may end up in a powwow or on a graduation cap somewhere in the lower 48. That's because of a federal program connecting tribes, raptor centers, and wildlife officials. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
1, 2, 3.
No questions.
There we go.
A bald eagle is released into the wild at the Alaska Raptor Center in Sitka. It's one of hundreds treated for injuries, disease, or malnourishment at centers around the state. But the story doesn't end with the flight. That's because the Raptor Center collects feathers rehabilitating birds lose while molting. Jennifer Cedarleaf is rehabilitation coordinator at the Sitka Center.
Our education birds that are here year-round, when they drop their feathers, we collect those, and they all just get saved up, and then I can send them down there.
There is the National Eagle Repository, run by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service near Denver, Colorado. Only Alaska Natives and American Indians are allowed to gather, store, and use feathers or parts from eagles and some other protected birds, with a couple exceptions. If the plumage or parts aren't available locally, the repository helps.
So it could be for folks that are in a powwow, dancing fans.
Joseph Early is the Native American liaison for the Wildlife Service's Southwest Region and a Laguna Pueblo member.
We have some of our tribes that use them for our very sacred ceremonies, naming ceremonies, birth ceremonies, sometimes for funerals, graduations. So it basically comes down to the individual member to be able to utilize that feather for however they want to.
Early discussed the program during the recent Native American Fish and Wildlife Society convention in Juneau. He shared reports showing Alaska provided about 10% of the feathers, parts, or whole eagle carcasses sent to the repository last year. In addition to live birds, the Alaska Raptor Center collects carcasses for shipment to the federal repository.
It is sad when you find a beautiful bird dead, and for us it's even more sad when we find one that's banded that we knew. Like I had one that hit a power line just a few weeks ago that we had when it was a baby, and that makes it more difficult.
She says knowing the carcasses will find a new use makes it a little easier. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.